Good evening, everyone, and welcome back to Sunday evening here at Calvary Baptist Church. And what a wonderful day it's been today. What a wonderful service we had this morning. And had some lovely singers with us this morning. And they were singing the praises of the Lord and had a wonderful service. We appreciate Brother Allen, Sister Terry, Sister Amanda being with us this morning and singing like they did. What a blessing that was. And we appreciate everybody and their their desire to be back in God's house. It's only a moment of time and a couple more weeks, and then we will be back here. Things will be a little different, but things will gradually take shape, and before you know it, we'll be worshiping the Lord back. I want to say like they were, but maybe like we've never had before is the better way to phrase that. Looking for the Lord to do some new things in a very new way. And so I want to say that this morning we mentioned Brother Jamie Dickerson and his successful heart surgery. And actually, I believe he went home today. I said that was going to be tomorrow. And he actually, as much as I know, is at home or on the way home. So we praise the Lord for the good surgery that you had. And God just using surgeons and doctors once again to touch our bodies. And so we're thankful for that. What a wonderful praise report that is. And also, we're just very thankful for all of those that God has touched in recent days. And we just want you to help us pray for everyone else on the prayer list from start to finish. We always keep a pretty full prayer list, but I ask that you would continue to remember each and every person and every life, every situation. And I want to send out a special request tonight for Miss Cassie Karanovich, that we would remember her in prayer. And she helps and taking care of Miss Betty Berry. So so we appreciate that. Appreciate Miss Cassie, and we're praying for her in her own life, personal life. So Miss Cassie, if you're watching, we love you. We're praying for you, along with Miss Betty, Brother Allen, and Miss Terry. All of these requests, we have several to mention. Of course, they're all listed in our bulletin. I do want to say that I talked to Miss Mary Ann Sandley this past week, and she still needs prayer for her arm to totally heal. So we pray for her. Let's pray for her and Brother Ed. Remember those two in our prayers. And let's go to the Lord in a word of prayer, and we will get right into the message tonight. Not a lot of singing tonight. In fact, we're just going to jump right into the message, and then we have maybe just a little bit of instrumental during our prayer time, but no singing tonight. So we hope you enjoyed what we had this morning. Heavenly Father, we come in Jesus' name tonight. We're thankful and grateful for who you are, for what you do. Lord, we're grateful for things that you bring into our life. And Lord, as we shared this morning, oh God, that you give us desires to do things, and then there's this duration of time that you work on us. God, you build kingly characteristics in our life. You're fitting us for our position. You're fitting your children for their positions in life. Help us, Lord, to be sensitive to you in everything we do and we say. Lord, I know that doing the right thing doesn't always feel good, but it is right to always do the right thing. We love you, Lord. We're thankful for Calvary Baptist Church. We're thankful for the members, every person, every life, every service. Lord, we count it a privilege and an honor Thank you for Brother Jamie and touching his heart physically, Lord. Pray for Miss Mary Ann and her arm, Brother Ed, Miss Betty Berry, Miss Cassie, Alan Terry, all these on our prayer list, Lord. Miss Karen Pittman and the homegoing of her mother. Lord, we pray for our city tonight, Lord. Powder Springs, we pray for surrounding cities. We pray for Atlanta. And God, we pray for our nation, Lord. We pray for our world. We pray for the pandemic, Lord. We pray for the violence that's taking place in our land. Oh, God, we pray for peace. We pray for healing. Help us be conscious of one another in everything we do, that we may be our brother's keeper in love to the end. We love you, we thank you, and we praise you. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Tonight, as I said, we're going to get right into God's Word. We're going to be in the book of Genesis tonight. And I want to read one verse, Genesis chapter number 9. Genesis chapter number 9. And I want to look at verse number 28 tonight. Genesis 9, verse number 28. Of course, this records life after the flood. And verse number 28 says this. Genesis chapter number 9, verse number 28. And Noah lived after the flood 350 years. We'll go ahead and finish in verse number 29. And all the days of Noah were 950 years, and he died. I want to take three words out of verse number 28 tonight, and I want to use it for my title, where the Bible says, and Noah lived after the flood. I want to preach for a few moments tonight and actually share some things on this topic, after the flood. After the flood. Have you ever given any thought to what life was like the moment that Noah stepped off of that ark? We think about life before the ark and before the flood. I've preached about Noah building that ark, and you've heard about it. And some of you have probably taught about it and spoke about it. Noah and his faithfulness and building that ark. And even the time that it started raining, and when God said, come, thou and all thy house into the ark. And how that God shut the door and closed them in, and they were safe inside the ark. And all of the days, the 40 days and 40 nights that Noah and his family were safe inside that ark. You've heard preaching and teaching on that, and I have. But then there came a day where the waters started to abate. They started to recede. Genesis chapter number 8. Notice if you would in verse number 1. And God remembered Noah and every living thing and all the cattle that was with him in the ark. And God made a wind to pass over the earth, and the waters assuaged. The waters assuaged. They began to move. And in verse number 3, and the waters returned from off the earth continually. And after the end of the 150 days, the waters were abated. And so we see that there was a clearing of the waters. This isn't my sermon tonight, but we see that not only this ark was significant, that Noah was safe inside this ark, his family was safe, and this pictures gives the picture of Jesus. It's an Old Testament shadow of the New Testament Christ. It pictures how that Jesus brings salvation and how that we are safe in Him. The moment that we say I do to Jesus and the plan of His salvation, we are safe in Him. And one day the wrath of God will be poured out and we are going to be raptured out of here, actually. We won't be around to notice that, to be here for that. But we are safe in this ark. But Noah, notice in verse number 7, and he sent forth a raven, which went forth to and fro until the waters were dried up from off the earth. Also he sent forth a dove from him to see if the waters were abated from off the face of the ground. But the dove found no rest for the sole of her foot, and she returned unto him into the ark. Noah not only had an ark, but he had a raven and a dove. And we're getting ready to talk about after the flood. But as we get there, make our way to talking about after the flood, Noah sent out a raven to see if the waters were fully receded. This raven that Noah released never came back. But then the Bible says that he sent forth a dove. And the dove returned because it found no rest for the sole of her foot. And so what does this picture? Well, in verse number 7, this raven never came back. But the dove came back because it found no resting place. Well, if the waters weren't fully abated, where did the raven rest? Well, we have reason to believe that the raven rested upon all of the flesh that was on the outside of the ark. You see, there's something about a raven that's attracted to flesh. There's something about a raven that's attracted to corruption. But then we see this dove, and there's something about a dove that's attracted to purity. There's something about a dove that is peaceful and that is pure, and so it chose not to rest upon the flesh and the corrupted flesh, but it came back into the ark. Did you know tonight that within our bodies that we have a raven and we have a dove? We have a raven, that which is attracted to corruptness. It's attracted to the things of the flesh. But then we have a dove, those of us that are saved, that is. We have a dove. It's that peaceful dove of Jesus. It's the sweet heavenly dove. It's the dove that is attracted to only the things of God and pure things. Well, we see that eventually this dove brought back an olive branch in her mouth. An olive leaf in verse 11. And then we get to chapter number 9. And we see that Noah, at the end of chapter number 8, we see that Noah is now on dry ground. Chapter number 9, life is regaining. And then in verse number 28 of chapter 9, and Noah lived after the flood 350 years. And so the title tonight is After the Flood. Again, I want to mention three things that Noah experienced, that Noah did after the flood. Number one, we see that Noah worshiped the Lord after the flood. I've just read to you how that chapter number 8, the waters began to abate and they were receding, and he sent the raven and the dove, and now in verse number 13, notice, and it came to pass in the 601st year, in the first month, the first day of the month, the waters were dried up from off the earth, and Noah removed the covering of the ark and looked, And behold, the face of the ground was dry. Look at verse 15. And God spake unto Noah, saying, go forth of the ark, thou and thy wife, and thy sons' wives with thee. I want you to notice something. Back in chapter 7, verse 1, and the Lord said unto Noah, come thou and all thy house unto the ark. Chapter 8, in verse number 16, he says, go forth of the ark, thou and thy wife and thy sons' wives with thee. And so God is now instructing Noah to go on land. You see, this was after the flood. And so what does Noah do? Well, hop down to verse number 20, and I want you to notice what Noah does. The very first thing that Noah does, Noah worships the Lord. And Noah builded an altar unto the Lord and took of every clean beast and of every clean fowl and offered burnt offerings on the altar. Noah worshiped the Lord here. Verse number 21 says, and the Lord smelled a sweet savor. And the Lord said in his heart, I will not again curse the ground anymore for man's sake. For the imagination of man's heart is evil from his youth. Neither will I again smite anymore every living thing as I have done. I want you to notice tonight that the very first thing that Noah did after the flood was that Noah worshiped the Lord. Church, let all of us be reminded, whenever God brings us over something, God brings us through something, never let us to forget to worship the Lord. I want you to notice that Noah worshiped the Lord through sacrifice. Notice again in verse number 20. And Noah builded an altar unto the Lord and took of every clean beast and of every clean fowl. Notice this. And offered burnt offerings on the altar. How about that? You see, Noah, after everything that God brought Noah and his family through, Noah worshiped the Lord through sacrifice. He presented a sacrifice and he turned it loose and it belonged to God. Now, in the day and times in which we live, the Lord is not asking for an animal sacrifice. The Lord is not asking of us of a personal life sacrifice, given of our lives physically. He's not asking of animal sacrifices, but he is asking us to present our bodies a living sacrifice. That's what Paul says in Romans chapter number 12 in verse number 1. Paul says, I beseech you, brethren, by the mercies of God, after everything you have done, Paul says, I beseech you, brethren, after the mercies of God, that you present your bodies not a dead sacrifice, not that you present an animal sacrifice, but that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. What I want to say tonight is simply this. Paul says in Romans 12:1, I beseech you, brethren, by the mercies of God. You see, Noah knew that God was very merciful unto him. Noah knew that God was faithful by supplying the needs to build that ark. Noah knew that God was faithful in protecting him to build that ark. Noah was thankful that his family was in that ark, and now they were on dry ground and they had the deed to the earth. And the very first thing he did was Noah worshiped the Lord through sacrifice. Church, that's one of the things that we need to remember the most. For everything that God has done for us, number one, the primary thing is that he has given his son for us. He gave his son for us on Calvary to save a wretch like us, to save a wretch like me. He reached way down into the mire and saved my soul. And since that day, it's been blessing on top of blessing on top of blessing. Yeah, listen, there's been burdens along the way. In fact, there's been some burdens today. But I want to say that the blessings outweigh the burdens far by the stretch of the imagination. There's been far too many blessings than burdens along this life's way. And I want to say because of that, I present my body tonight, a living sacrifice unto Jesus. I'm not perfect. I'm a man to the best of my abilities, trying to make the best decisions as I can as a pastor, as a parent, as a husband, as a person in this community. And listen, I want and my desire is to give God the very best in worship, in the avenue of personal sacrifice. You see, Noah, after the flood, he worshiped the Lord through sacrifice, the Bible says. And Noah builded an altar unto the Lord and took of every clean beast and of every clean fowl and offered burnt offerings on the altar. Let me ask you, individual, tonight, do you have an altar in your home where you present your sacrifice unto God because you're thankful? Or does your altar need to be repaired? That's a question tonight. Do you have a home altar? Or does it need to be repaired? We won't get off into the life of Elijah, but when he challenged the false prophets of Baal, the 850, there was an altar that needed to be repaired. Elijah repaired some altars. And then Elijah called fire down from heaven. I think sometimes if we're not careful, we get to the place in life where we kind of feel entitled to the things that come our way. I deserve that. I deserve this. But you know the truth of the matter tonight is simply this. We don't deserve anything but hell. And I know that's tough language, but I want to say that's King James Version language tonight. Because the truth of the matter is, there is none good. There is none. No, not one. There's none of us that does good. We all, like sheep, have gone astray. And we've strayed away from the Lord. And the best of our abilities, on our best day, it's still as filthy rags. But yet, Jesus, while he was on the cross, we were on his mind. He opened up the plan of salvation. He called us by his Holy Spirit. In due time, we said yes. We accepted him. And now after the flood, after he has brought us, translated us from darkness unto life, has blessed us with spiritual life, has given us a home, a church to go to. Listen, there needs to be some altars built, and possibly there needs to be some altars repaired tonight. Noah worshiped the Lord after the flood. There's a second thing Noah did after the flood. Not only did Noah worship the Lord, and listen, when Noah presented his sacrifice on the altar, don't forget verse 21. And the Lord smelled a sweet savor. You do know tonight that what we do sins our daily walk in life with God. It does send up an aroma to His nostrils. I'm not trying to preach doom tonight. I'm not trying to paint an ugly picture, but I'm just trying to be honest. Our life does give off a fragrance. And we either will give off a fragrance of Christ, or we will give off the fragrance of the flesh. And so Noah, by his sacrifice, his form of worship, given this sacrifice, it brought a sweet savor into the nostrils of the Lord. Number two tonight, after the flood, not only Noah worshiped the Lord after the flood, but number two, Noah wrestled with the flesh after the flood. You say, hold on, wait a minute, Brother Justin. Things were going well. Things were going well. Notice, if you will, in chapter number 9. Noah's getting settled in the new life. The ark building days are over. All of those days of trusting God has gone by. The 40 days and 40 nights of steady rain and all of that. God proved Himself mighty. The waters abated. They landed on dry ground. Noah worshiped the Lord after the flood. But in chapter number 9 and verse number 20, Noah planted a vineyard. Notice, if you would, in chapter number 9 and verse number 20. And Noah began to be an husbandman, and he planted a vineyard, and he drank of the wine and was drunken, and he was uncovered within his tent. How about that? Well, hold on, wait a minute. This is a new life, and this is a new start. Surely when things are new, and surely when you have a fresh start and things along those lines, there's nothing bad is going to happen again, is it? This is also a picture of salvation, how that the ark gives the picture of salvation. When, once you're safely in Jesus, you're secure. But then comes the new life. When a person gets saved, they have the peace. They have peace with God. Then they have the peace of God. But then after a little while, they start to realize they're still on planet Earth. And they're still living in this house of flesh, this house of clay. They're not in heaven yet. They're still rubbing shoulders with the lost world, and they're still contending with the dark forces of this world. The devil is still their enemy. He's not their friend. And so Noah, after the flood, he plants this vineyard. And he begins to be a drinker. And now Noah is laying in his tent. And the Bible specifies that he's uncovered. Noah here is a drunk preacher. What a shame. You know, the scriptures don't only indicate the good parts about the patriarchs, but the scriptures also show and indicate the fleshly parts of the patriarchs. It shows the good parts about Abraham, but it shows the bad parts about Abraham. I preached on David this morning, and we looked at the good part about David, how that God chose a shepherd boy and took him to be a king and worked kingly characteristics in his life. But even as a king, he took another man's wife, and he allowed and caused that man to be murdered. Listen, The Bible is a book that is true. The Bible is a book that will tell you the truth. It holds the truth. God's Word is the standard. It's our faith and practice by which we live. Doesn't matter what this person thinks or feels. Doesn't matter what this person thinks or feels. You tell me what God says. That's how we're supposed to live our life. So we have Noah here. Noah is drunk and uncovered in his tent. But you see, the story continues. Noah has three sons, Shem, Ham, and Japheth. Look in verse number 22. And Ham, the father of Canaan, saw the nakedness of his father and told his two brethren without. And Shem and Japheth took a garment and laid it upon both their shoulders and went backward and covered the nakedness of their father. And their faces were backward, and they saw not their father's nakedness. And Noah awoke from his wine and knew what his younger son had done unto him. And he said, cursed be Canaan, a servant of servants shall he be unto his brethren. What happened here? We're not going to get in great detail. There's a lot of speculation what happened here. But I can tell you what happened here was lewd. What happened here? Evidently, two of the brothers were very, very cautious in covering their dad as they went into his tent and dealt with him till he awoke, from his drunken stupor. But the scriptures indicate in verse number 24 that Noah awoke from his wine and he discovered something that his youngest son had done unto him. The scriptures are indicating here that Ham had done something very lewd to his father. That Ham had took advantage of his father while he was drunk. And listen, this all is surrounding around alcohol. And alcohol, at least in this particular passage of scripture, in the flow of chapter number 9, started a descent in the lineage and the new world after the flood in a very negative way. After the flood, Noah wrestled with the flesh. Noah said, I'm home free. The wrath of God is over. I've completed my job. I built that ark. I was faithful for 120 years. I deserve a little bit of off time. How many times in life do we get in trouble by saying I deserve a little bit of off time? There's nothing wrong with off time. But when we have the attitude, I deserve a little bit of off time from church. I deserve a little bit of off time from God. There's never a off time from a relationship with Christ. There's never a holiday from taking time off with Jesus. We need Him. Every single step of the way, we need Him. And so Noah, he spent his entire life, or at least a great large part of his life, building this ark. And they were safely in the ark, and they made their way through the storm. And now the storm is over. They're on dry ground. And Noah says, you know what? I'm just going to plant a vineyard. I got this. I'm fine. And Noah began to be drunk. And because of the alcohol in his life, because he thought that he had it, because Noah thought that he had a hold of the bottle, that everything was all right. Listen, the bottle had a hold of Noah. He did not have a hold of the bottle. Let me tell you why. Because of the lewd event that took place in this text. Noah went to sleep drunk, And because of the events recorded here, his son took advantage of him. And now there's a curse pronounced upon the sons of Ham. Listen, I said all of that to say this tonight, that even after salvation, we will still wrestle with the flesh. The ark is a picture of salvation, but then after the flood, Noah wrestled with the flesh. Let me just say it this way. Whenever God brings us through situations in life, this is a separate way of thinking. Whenever God, my original way of thinking actually, whenever God brings us through situations in life, we ought to worship the Lord with sacrifice. We ought to present our bodies a living sacrifice. But also, we ought to understand that whenever God brings us through something, we experience a victory, it is still no time to take a break from serving God. Noah did that, and he paid dearly for it. He wrestled with the flesh. He had a moment of weakness. He drank a little wine. And then there was problems that followed. Let me mention one more thing, and we're going to be through tonight. After the flood, Noah worshiped the Lord. After the flood, Noah wrestled with the flesh. After the flood, Noah witnessed corruption once again. You see, when this whole thing started, back in Genesis chapter number 6, Noah witnessed a world filled with corruption. And that's when God mandated him to build an ark. And so he preached, built the ark, made it through. Now he's on dry ground, a new world. But you see, in chapter number 10, it was through Ham. Notice if you would in verse number 6. And the sons of Ham, Cush, and Mizraim, and Phut, and Canaan. Ham had a son named Cush. Jump down to verse number 10. And the beginning of his kingdom was Babel. I'm going to stop there. If you follow the lineage of Ham, you'll find Cush. But if you keep looking down, look at verse number 8. And Cush begot Nimrod. Nimrod was the one who started the work on the Tower of Babel. The Tower of Babel was erected. They wanted to make a name for themselves. So they say, we will make a name for ourselves. Notice if you would in chapter number 11. Chapter number 11. We'll see some of the reading here, verse number 4. And they said, go to, let us build us a city and a tower whose top may reach unto heaven, and let us make us a name, lest we be scattered abroad upon the face of the whole earth. Nimrod was at the foot of this meeting, of this operation, which came from Cush. Cush came from Ham, which came from the loins of Noah. I want to say that after the flood, Noah not only worshiped the Lord, Noah not only wrestled with the flesh, but Noah witnessed corruption once again. It's kind of sad how things ended, if you think about it. On one hand, he started his life with witnessing corruption. God told him to build an ark, and he did. Out on dry ground in success. But then he died witnessing corruption again. That Tower of Babel going up, wanting to make a name for themselves. And you see, God scattered that, didn't he? That's how we get all these different languages, is that God scattered what they were doing. Babel. Babel. That's what some say when they don't understand a language, don't they? That sounds like a bunch of Babel. Tower of Babel. Noah witnessed corruption. All came from Nimrod. Tonight, I don't know if this was just a lesson for you, maybe to enlighten your brain. I don't know if it was more than a lesson. Maybe it challenged your heart. I hope maybe it did both. Maybe it enlightened your mind and challenged your heart at the same time. But that's what I had on my heart tonight. After the flood, Noah worshiped the Lord. Noah wrestled with the flesh. And then Noah witnessed corruption once again. And whatever area of life we're in, whatever God brings us through, let us always remember to worship Him and protect ourselves from the flesh and to keep on moving forward for Jesus. Father, we love You. We thank You. We praise You. We ask, Lord, that You'd move this time of invitation in the homes of Your people. And we'll praise You for it in Jesus' name. Amen. This is our virtual invitation. We'll give you a moment to respond during this time of service. You do so if you feel led. Just bow and pray if you feel led to. As this service is open. God's been good to all of us. He's brought us through a lot. He's continuing to bring us through a lot. You might just want to say thank you. He's faithful, He's true. He will always see us through. Do your best and leave the rest up to Him. Amen. That'll be enough tonight of an invitation given. And we appreciate you tuning back in this evening, taking your time. Thank you, Calvary. We love you. Pray for us. Pray for the church. We definitely will lift you up as well. We pray that everyone would have a great week this week. And tune back in this coming Wednesday at 7 o'clock. And the good Lord willing, we'll meet you then. Have a great night.